Hi, I'm Ray.
And I'm Charlotte.
And this is the Midnight Record.
The Midnight Record.
Hell yeah.
Ow!
It sure is.
Still a little sleepy tamago over here, but we're trying to wake up.
Yeah, it's understandable. You just got two shots in your arms. Your body's going through it.
Yeah, my body's like, how dare you?
What have you done to me? But it'll thank you in the long run.
Literally, who do you think you are?
It'll thank you in the long run.
Well, this is one of our freeform episodes.
Yes.
And in this week's episode, we wanted to talk about, honestly, the astounding number of trans Americans who have passed away in 2021 so far, which is just absolutely astronomical.
Yeah.
That this is probably going to be the deadliest year for trans people in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So far this year, there's been recorded 43 trans Americans killed so far. And actually, 2020's number was 44, so we're already on, and I think 2020 was the deadliest year to date, so we're on track. I mean, obviously I don't wish for any more lives to be lost, but the way it's going is not good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And this also, like, we want to, like, say that this is, like, through the end of October that these numbers are happening.
Yes. So if could be different.
If we have missed any cases, you know, that is not obviously intentional. It's just what we currently have during the time of recording.
I want to say it was, like, October 26th or something that this article was posted. So take that into account, that if there are...
From The Advocate?
Yes.
So the article we're primarily going off of is the article from October 20th, 2021 from theadvocate.com.
They must be adding people, like, editing as they go, because the last one they talked about is on the 25th.
Yeah, so this article is by Trudy Ring, and the title is, here are the 43 trans Americans killed in 2021 so far. Now, also, we do want to reiterate, we understand that this is not just an American problem, of course, and that there are still plenty of countries that also have serious issues with violence against LGBTQ plus people, and we will touch on that a little bit, but once again, as always, we are American. This is sort of like...
It hits close to home.
Yeah, and this is, like, what we're seeing in our everyday lives.
Right.
Not to, you know, of course, discount anybody else's lives, but just want to throw that out there really quick.
And I think another thing that's important to note that this article, like, kind of talks about is that LGBTQ plus organizations have really only been tracking these numbers for about 8 years. So, and it's hard to get an exact accurate number even before that, because there was always a... huge problem in accurate reporting, misgendering, dead naming, things like that, which is still a problem. It does touch on that this is getting better, but that, and what you'll see as we go through some of these cases, that it's still happening. Like, that there are still times where in the media they're dead naming the
misgendering,
all
especially
that.
With non-binary people.
Yes.
Or gender non-conforming people.
Right.
Because, you know, just because someone is female or male presenting does not mean that those are the pronouns that they typically use. Now, of course, Black trans women are the majority of the victims, and that has been a trend for a very long time, unfortunately. I mean, even going all the way back to, like, around Stonewall, POC trans women, typically Black trans women, were mostly targeted, which is incredibly unfortunate. But and this article states that they often are endangered by racism and poverty, as well as transphobia on top of that, but that also does not discount, like, trans men or non-binary people who have had violence committed against them. So
I guess
you want to start?
Yeah, I can go.
Okay.
All right. So we have, and if I mispronounce names, I apologize. Tiana Devaria Alexander, who was 28 years old, passed away on January 6th in Chicago. This was the first reported violent death of a trans person in 2021. She was found shot in the head on the street of the city's south side, and she was pronounced dead at the scene. A man accompanying her was hit in the arm and also pronounced dead later on. The shots were fired from a vehicle, and the crime is still being investigated. Tiana is remembered fondly. She was said to be a loving person who everyone loved to be around. She loved to dance, had a great sense of humor, enjoyed life when she could, and just wanted to be able to vibe and thrive. Isn't that all of our goals?
Same, sis, same.
Let's vibe and thrive.
Bless her. Yeah. I'm glad to hear that they're not, like, sweeping it under the rug.
Right. Yeah, it seems like it's being investigated, but it also seems like, at least it hasn't been stated, because a lot of these do state if arrests were made.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like an arrest hasn't been made yet, but yeah. Hoping for some justice for her.
Yeah. The next on our list is Samuel Edmund Damien Valentin, who passed away on January 9th in Trujillo Alto, Puerto Rico. A driver had hit what she thought was an object in the road and then stopped and realized she had hit a dead person. Samuel had been shot several times in various parts of his body. He was actually misgendered in initial reports, which is honestly, like, to me, so egregious.
It's yeah.
It's awful. Which is something that has been called out by advocates. Quote, one of the most serious problems we have with the police and the Department of Justice is that they do not identify LGBTIQ plus.
I'm wondering if that's like a Puerto Rican or, cause it, I don't know if the, it's like different in Puerto Rico, like in Spanish.
Maybe.
I don't know.
LGBTIQ plus people in their incident reports. Almost every time a LGBTQ plus person is murdered, it is the community itself that identifies them, which I think is something that we will be seeing through a ton of these cases. Mm-hmm. The police and justice fail to comply with their protocols, and it even seems that they want to ignore, make invisible, and minimize the serious problem of the wave of homophobic and transphobic violence that haunts us like never before. This has to stop, and the government has to act immediately to tackle this crisis. Unquote. At least 12 LGBTQ plus people have died by violence in Puerto Rico in the last 2 years, it's been right. said. The police is still looking at all possible motives for Samuel's death, but it is being investigated as a hate crime.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, the misgendering is just... It's just terrible because these people aren't alive anymore to even defend themselves mm-hmm. or, and just to know that they're kind of being put in the press and in front of eyes in a way that they would hate to be presented
mm-hmm.
is very sad.
Yeah. And it's like, just because you have certain genitalia right. in between your legs does not mean that you automatically identify with that gender
right.
or, you know, yeah. So,
and I'm wondering, like, is the intent when they're doing this a malicious intent? Is it to kind of cover up this problem that they're having with an increase in LGBT plus violence? Is it that record state, like, that the sex of this person is one way and they automatically assume?
I think part of it is a lot of these cases do happen in the South, and because of, you know, certain religious connotations that Southerners already have, you know, I think part of, I mean, I hate to say it, but I do think part of it is sort of malicious and being yeah. like, because unfortunately, typically, they're not as educated on these issues as other people are, and that's, like, no fault of their own. I feel like that's just, like, the culture of the American South, but that still doesn't make it okay.
Right.
Especially when it's on national news.
Generationally perpetuated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's horrific.
For sure. All right. So next we have Bianca Muffin Banks. who was 30.
Muffin!
Cute. Who was 30 and passed away on January 17th in Atlanta. Bianca was fatally shot in her apartment in Atlanta. And police believe her killer was a man named Moses Allen, who then took his own life. The bodies were discovered by Bianca's roommate, with whom she had kind of been on and off the streets with. And they had moved into the apartment just a few weeks before she passed away. The incident is likely to remain classified as a murder-suicide. She was a former foster child who was just blossoming into herself. It was said at a memorial vigil that was held. Muffet hadn't been in the apartment for even a month. We were helping her get a job. We actually had the job interview scheduled for the day after she died, which is very sad. And she acquired her nickname to her love of blueberry muffins. Hoped to one day compete on RuPaul's Drag Race. And she was recalled as sweet and kind. Very sad. I, too, love a blueberry muffin. Especially when it's got the crumbly sugar on top.
Oh, yeah. The little flecks of sugar.
Yeah. So good.
So tasty. The next on the list is Dominique Jackson, which I think at the beginning of the year was the case that at least here in New York City was one that I heard about the most. And I think it's also because in January specifically, there were so many deaths that happened so quickly.
Yeah, we're still in January.
That then all of a sudden, that's people were like, wait, hold on. Wait a second.
What's going on?
This is not good, obviously. So Dominique Jackson, who was 30 years old, passed away on January 25th, 2021 in Jackson, Mississippi. She was found dead after her aunt reported she had been missing for 3 days. She crashed her car into a utility pole after being shot. Dominique was well known in her community as the mother of the House of Red and former of the Lottie Red and founder of the Lottie Red Incorporated. She was known as a mother, a sister, a leader, and a necessity to her community. Those who even didn't meet her knew that she automatically had this like motherly instinct about her and could like look at you and see what you needed.
Seems like people kind of looked up to her.
Yeah, she definitely seemed like she was a pillar of her community for sure. Dominique's life was extinguished and her friends were devastated. Human Rights Campaign State Director Rob Hill told local TV station WLBT, her family are devastated, and so many of Dominique's friends are trans Black women who are fearing for their lives, many more, even more so than they were before. But I do hope that this helps people see that this is a real problem. Braden McLaurin, who is 25, was arrested in February and charged for Dominique's murder.
And I'm glad there was at least somebody held accountable for this case.
Right, and, like, that's a, like, insane thing is that, like, trans women were at the forefront of the LGBTQ plus revolution movement in this country and who fight for, and historically fight for everyone within the community, regardless of how they identify, who they are. And it's just, it's insane to me that these poor women are being murdered by these men because they can't understand that not all women look the same, and who are essentially threatened by their femininity.
Yeah.
And it's, like, really, really horrific.
Yeah. I did a case not too long ago on TikTok where a trans woman was murdered by a man she had been sleeping with, allegedly, because he found out that she was trans, but from the details, I don't think that's exactly the case, but it's just, like, it's just wild to me that, I think, like, either somebody had found out, or, like, something like that, like, there's this, like, toxic masculinity and, like, thought that you can't be attracted to who you're attracted to. A trans woman is a woman, so what's the big deal?
Right.
You're attracted to someone. You want to sleep with them. Fine. That's fine. But why is there's a stigma?
They get so hung up on how either their bodies look or the way that they have looked in the past.
Right.
And it's like this, again, it like fully comes down to the patriarchy and toxic masculinity in general.
Yeah.
And again, it's just like really, really depressing. Yeah. If you guys have ever seen the documentary Paris is Burning,
I have not.
It's fantastic. What are you, kidding me?
Eh, I don't think I have.
It's like a part of queer culture.
Maybe I have. No, maybe I haven't.
You gotta watch it. But it's about the ballroom scene in Harlem in the late 80s, early 90s. But there are a lot of trans women that are at the forefront of that documentary. And it's pretty upsetting, like, hearing them firsthand talk about the violence that they endure.
Yeah.
Because, again, because, like, many of them had to be sex workers, and then the Johns would find out that they had certain, it was just, it's like that they are trans, and then it would, it's really, it's a tough watch, but it is so incredibly important. So I think you can still find it on Amazon Video. So okay. 10 out of 10 would absolutely recommend.
Yeah.
It's really fantastic.
Sounds interesting. So next up we have 50 Bands, who was 21 and passed away on January 28th in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. 50 was shot to death, and 4 days later, police arrested Michael Joshua Brooks, 20 years old, with whom she had been in a previous relationship and who threatened her life previously. And the local media did dead name 50. Michael is charged with second-degree murder. The two had a volatile relationship, according to reports. They had broken up for a time but started dating again recently. And it's said that the shooting occurred during an argument. This is an example of intimate partner violence, which trans people actually experience at a higher rate than cisgender people. In 2020, 70% of trans and gender nonconforming people who died by violence were killed by an acquaintance, friend, family member, or intimate partner. And Tori Cooper, director of community engagement for HRC's Trans Justice Initiative, said in a press release, "We will continue to affirm that Black trans lives matter and say the names of those we have lost, including 50 Bands. But we must do more. 50 was killed by someone she knew. If we can't trust the people we know, who can we trust? We need everyone to take action to bring this horrific violence to an end."
Yeah. I think that is absolutely a very important statistic to point out, that trans people are the most at risk for domestic violence.
Yeah. Which is interesting.
It's pretty upsetting, you know.
And I wonder, like, kind of the underlying factors of that. Like, I'm sure it leads a lot back to, like we said, like the patriarchy, toxic masculinity, kind of that dynamic of like a trans woman and if she's dating like a cis man, because it seems like that's kind of the trend as well. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm sure there are a lot of different reasons, and I know that it's different for each case,
right.
But I think part of it is, you know, societal pressure that, like, for these trans people, it's like once you have a partner, it's like, well, put up with it because, quote unquote, who's going to, like, love you,
right.
You know, which is such a horrible thing to, like, think about.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's that factor, you know, and I'm obviously not saying that that's, like, a right mindset.
No.
Because everyone deserves to have love and,
yeah,
you know, not be abused.
But I can see, like, because even some cis people feel that way. They feel like
absolutely.
They're not good enough for anyone else. They won't be able to find anyone else. And in these, like, abusive relationships, just continue to stay, like, either thinking it'll go better or thinking that if they leave them, things will be worse.
Yeah.
So I think that's an all-around trend. But, yeah, I can see how it would even be, I guess, emphasized in someone who doesn't fit some societal standards.
And I think sometimes trans people just don't have as many safe spaces to go.
Yeah.
So it's one of those issues where it's like, well, I would like to leave, but how do I leave,
right.
And where do I
go
then afterwards?
Right.
So that's why, like, shelters, you know, LGBTQ plus shelters and organizations are so important mm-hmm. for scenarios like that, right. because at least then they know that they have a safe space right. to go.
Right. Like, if they don't have, like, any other support system. Right. I mean, we see, unfortunately, trans people can, like, kind of sometimes be, like, shunned by their family because of certain beliefs that people hold, which are bullshit. But right. If they have no other support system but this partner that they have, they feel like, where do I go?
Yeah, trapped. Very trapped.
Right.
So, that was all just January.
Which is wild. Way, yeah.
Insane. It, like, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
So, moving on to February. Mm-hmm. Alexis Braxton, who was also known as Kimmy Icon Braxton, which honestly I live, was found dead in a Miami condominium complex on February 4th, 2021. The Miami-Dade County Police are investigating her death as a homicide, but they have declined to release details on how she died, saying that it would compromise the investigation. So the family is left with, like, no closure, and obviously they're suffering tremendously because of her death and in the manner that she was murdered. Braxton was the daughter of a board member of Hollywood, Florida, Hollywood, Florida's LGBTQ council. So when they use the word daughter, there are, for those who don't know, there are a lot of mothers who take young LGBTQ plus like people and take them under their wing, and so then they become that mother and they sort of help them blossom within the community.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't always necessarily mean that they are actually related.
Right.
Police are offering a reward up to $5,000 for any information that leads to an arrest in this case. They ask that tips be submitted to Detective Jay Segova at 305-471-2400 or to the Miami-Dade County Crime Stoppers at 866-471-8477 or crimestoppersmiami.com. So if you do have any information, please reach out to...
So it seems like whatever manner she died in seems like pretty extreme, like not... To me, it seems like it's not like, I mean, not to say like run of the mill, like a typical like shooting, like stabbing. Like, I'm sure there was like maybe this was more of an extreme hate crime in which something like bad was done. Like, even, I mean, like, obviously murdering either way is bad, but like, probably something a lot more graphic, a lot more detailed.
And I'm thinking that the way that she died was probably incredibly specific. Right. I think that's where you're going, is like, it's not just like a generalization of like a shooting or right. a stabbing. It was probably more specific,
or like planned out,
which can compromise the investigation.
Right. Then. They don't want people knowing these specific details.
Right.
Or because it could probably help.
Having people... like having the killers know that the police know, you know, it's one of those snowball type of effects. Mm-hmm. But hopefully Alexis will get justice soon.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Next we have China Carrillo, 24, from New Wilmington Borough, PA, and she passed away on February 18th. So police were called on February 18th to a house in New Wilmington Borough, where they found a man beating China Carrillo with blunt objects. They ordered the man to cease, but he did not, and an officer shot and killed him on the scene. China was taken to a hospital nearby in Youngstown, Ohio, where she died of her injuries. Police later identified her attacker as Juan Carter Hernandez, 33, who had been imprisoned in North Carolina. He had shot his wife Candace Hernandez to death in their home in that state in July 2011. He claimed he acted in self-defense, but in 2014, he pleaded guilty to second-degree murder, and he was sentenced to 8 to 10 years in prison, and he had recently been living in Campbell, Ohio. China was a certified nursing assistant at the Grove in New Wilmington, a nursing home that was next to the house where she was attacked. She moved to Pennsylvania from Springdale, Arkansas, in which she hoped it would be a positive change, friends and family said. She would have turned 25 on March 3rd, and her mother said, "I'm going to be celebrating a birthday with an angel in heaven." I do wonder, like, what was the connection to this man? Like, did they know each other? Was this just, like, random? Mm-hmm. Also, why was he out of jail? He shot his wife to death. Why did he only get 8 to 10 years?
Why was he given parole?
Right.
To begin with? I mean, so many repeat offenders, like...
But then you have...
Violent repeat offenders, like... why would you ever let somebody out on parole unless you know for damn sure that they have really reformed?
Right.
Like, full 180, you know?
And that would be hard to tell and
you know,
do. Yeah.
Also, people lie, and, like, I'm fully aware of that, but...
But then you have people on, like, I don't know, like, silly marijuana charges that are given, like, 8 years.
Don't get me started on the war on drugs, because I am...
I've had it up to here.
I've had it, officially. All right, so moving on.
This one's a sad one.
This one's a really sad one. They're all really sad.
Well, yeah, but
this one in particular.
This one is the one that, like, stuck out to me. I mean, this is one that I had heard about previously. One of the few.
See, I hadn't heard about this one at all.
I think I saw it on TikTok, actually.
Oh, interesting. Jeffrey J.J. Bray, a 16-year-old trans boy, and his non-binary sibling, 22-year-old Jasmine Kennedy, died February 22nd after both were shot in the head in their home of Ambridge, Pennsylvania. The two's mother, Crescinda Ann Bright, was arrested and charged with 2 counts of criminal homicide. Police said she called 911 and said she had killed her children, and when they arrived, she was covered in blood. At least one of the children begged her not to shoot, but they have not released which of her 2 kids was the one. September, Crescinda entered a plea of not guilty in Beaver County Court. Prosecutor said if she is tried and found guilty, they will seek the death penalty, although Pennsylvania has a moratorium on execution since 2015. Her attorneys are scheduled to meet with prosecutors in November, and her next court appearance is scheduled for January of 2022. Friends said the siblings had a complicated relationship with their mother. At a vigil for the victims held February 23rd, attendees emphasized the need to respect everyone's gender identity and to recognize when a person is in crisis and needs the help of mental health professionals, something that might have prevented both of their deaths. Mm-hmm. Jackie Palmer, who is the founder of the local LGBTQ+ group Prism, organized the vigil and said that the two siblings would be amazed to see the outpour of support at the event, attended by more than 100 people. Honestly, a huge turnout.
Yeah.
These 2 kids deserve this love and support from their communities. Just love your kids. Tomorrow's not promised, and all these kids want is to be loved and accepted for who they are. These tragedies don't need to happen, unquote.
Yeah. The case is... Well, it sounds like they had a difficult relationship with their mother, probably due to the way they choose to live their life to present. And it sounds also like maybe the mother may have had some mental health issues that she didn't seek help for, because they said something that might have prevented the tragedy. So,
and also, like, 22 is really young, but 16.
I know.
I mean,
just a baby.
That really hurts my heart. I have worked before with, and this is why, like, organizations that help LGBTQ+, like, youth are so important. I've done fundraisers with the Covenant House before, which essentially is, like, a safe haven for LGBTQ+, like, adolescents. So organizations like that are, like, so important. But,
yeah,
man, that is... That heavy. One hurts.
Yeah.
That one hurts. They all hurt, but that one especially.
It's just very sad. Because, like, this is the first one we saw that their own, like, family member, their own mother. Like, someone that you're supposed to be able to trust and...
Somebody who literally birthed them.
Right. And feel loved by. Like, just terrible.
It's really heart-wrenching.
Very terrible. Sure. Next, we have Jenna Franks, who's 34, from Jacksonville, North Carolina. Jenna Franks, who was homeless and found dead in a creek near a bike trail in Jacksonville on February 24th. autopsy results later indicated that she died of multiple stab wounds. Her death is being investigated as a homicide and a hate crime. North Carolina hate crimes law does not cover crimes motivated by the victim's gender identity, but federal law does. No arrests has been made so far. Rewards are being offered for information that helps solve this case. Robert Wells, FBI special agent in charge, said that Jenna was a beloved member of the LGBTQ plus community and that her absence has been felt by friends and family members. They don't believe this was a random act. There's a strong possibility the person who did this continues to work and or live in the community. We believe that someone has information to help us get justice for Jenna and her family. And then Samuel Johnson, director for communications at the Onslow County LGBTQ plus community center, says that she was a delight to be with. She was an amazing person inside and out. I still cannot fathom that this happened. Being here my whole life, I never thought anything like this could happen. So it's just kind of taken us all aback, but we're still pushing forward.
And homelessness is also like a huge issue within the community, yes. Right? Like, because unfortunately the narrative is not being accepted by your family.
Right.
And not having anywhere to go,
not having resources.
So,
I mean, it can even affect getting jobs.
Oh, 100%. I mean, the fact that there are states that still allow discrimination against LGBTQ plus people, either when getting jobs or while they have the job, so essentially they have to like mask who they are,
right,
is really upsetting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So unfortunately the list goes on. So now we're into March. Adeline Evans, 24, was found dead in a canal in Port Arthur, Texas in March. They don't say the exact date in this article. Port Arthur police initially investigated, but now police in nearby Beaumont, Texas have taken over the case due to evidence that she was killed in Beaumont and then taken to the canal. Those who are not familiar with Texas, unlike me, they are very close together.
Okay.
So the drive would be
right. It would be
pretty quick.
Pretty quick. Okay.
And like Port Arthur has a ton of canals and like a ton of industrial plants and things like that.
So they purposely brought them there because they knew it would be
easy to cover.
Dump.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately. They have not commented on how she was killed, however. Local media have called Evans a transient who had spent time in Port Arthur, Beaumont, and Houston, but her mother told San Antonio station WOAI that Evans could turn to family members whenever she needed shelter. My child was loving. My child was very happy. My child lived in her truth every day, Joy Griffin said. Evans had been harassed for being transgendered and was even shot when walking with a group of friends in 2017. Her mother, Joy, hopes to start a support group called Adeline's Angels for parents who have lost children to violence. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that this poor woman had already gone through a shooting and survived.
Right.
And then was murdered later. I mean.
That reminds me of the case I did on Malaysia Booker, who was literally filmed being jumped by a bunch of men.
Yep.
And eventually, like, helped and pulled away by a group of women who helped get her out of harm's way. And then kind of became an advocate for justice against trans people and then ended up being shot and killed.
Murdered.
Yeah. Having to live in fear of even any type of violence, whether it's murder or just, like, being beaten, just because of how you're living your life and how you're presenting yourself is just terrifying.
Everyone deserves to live their truth. And I hope that one day we live in a kinder society to where these types of atrocious murders won't happen anymore.
And I know, like, as someone who personally dates women, and as someone who's also, I feel like you could say, like, I mean, obviously it's like very broad term, but like straight passing, like when I'm like doing like job interviews and stuff, I don't have to like mask who I am really, like, sure, however we were talking about and things like that. And I know it's immensely more difficult for POC trans people and things like that. But even as someone who just dates women, there was a time that sticks out in my mind where we were walking. This was a few months ago, walking down the street, like holding hands, and this older gentleman, probably around 50 or 60, was screaming at us like, it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, even though that doesn't make sense because we're two women, but like literally like yelling at us, had like the very like religious like jacket on with like crosses all on it, and literally just like being harassed by an older man, two young women being harassed by an older man because of us holding hands. There's been times like Aaron and I where we'll feel uncomfortable, like if we're walking past a group of men, we'll feel uncomfortable, and like if we're holding hands or something like that, we'll both like kind of know to like put that, I guess that would be considered like masking, like we're like trying to act like we're not together because we don't want them to say anything, because there have been times where we're walking down the street and men have like yelled things at us or things like that, or like made comments. So that's just like my personal experience, and I can only imagine what it's like for someone who presents in a less socially acceptable way.
Two of my close friends, they've been married for a long time, and they are LGBTQ plus, and you know, one of them, you know, has stated to me before, they're like, I will not wear certain outfits out because I just don't want to be, I can't deal with that. I can't deal with the bullshit today.
Yeah.
And it's, and we live in an incredibly progressive city.
Right.
But there's still, it's, you know, still ignorant people everywhere. Right. And the fact that people are not allowed to just like live their truest selves is really, I think at the core of it, to me at least, is the most like atrocious part of all of this.
And like thinking about, like you said, we live in a progressive city. Like if it can be hard sometimes here, I can only imagine like a lot of these cases take place in like southern states or like more conservative states. So I can only imagine how hard it is to like live the life you want somewhere that's less accepting.
Yeah. And like he's, like you pointed out, like trying to get a job, like how are you supposed to get a job?
Yeah. And kind of how we've, you talked about earlier in the podcast, we know this is not like only an American issue. Actually, like Aaron and I had like talked, like in the future, if like we're still together, like we would love to like move to Europe for a year or something like that, or just like try it out, whatever.
Okay, fancy.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Europe.
I guess we'll do the podcast over Zoom then.
Yeah. We can do it. But so I was just like out of curiosity, was looking up like the best and worst areas to live in for like LGBT, because like that's an important thing to think about, that like people who are like cis and straight don't have to think about when they're moving. And one of the worst ones was, one of the worst was Poland. And it made me think of when I lived in Italy for 3 months, my last semester of college, and I lived with a gay man. And he had Polish descent. His parents were from Poland. And we were taking a trip there. And he knew from like what his parents told him, so he knew to tone down the way he dressed, didn't wear his makeup, took off his polish, because he knew that it would make it a lot more dangerous for him if he kind of dressed like that there. Like, his parents are very accepting of him, but they were like, we know the way people are there, like you need to kind of keep a more low profile.
Jeez.
Yeah. Next we have Diamond Kyrie Sanders, who was 23, was shot to death during a robbery in Cincinnati on March 3rd. Diamond was found at 4 a.m. that day in a parking lot of an apartment building in the Clifton neighborhood, known for its historic homes and popular restaurants and bars. She was taken to a nearby hospital and died shortly after. Police said that they don't believe the shooting was motivated by her gender identity, but it was instead a crime of greed, I guess because it was a robbery. And in September, three people were arrested in connection. Christopher Heil, 28, Frances Rivers, 33, and Kiara Davis, 29, who were charged with murder, aggravated robbery, and felonious assault. Diamond is remembered as a ball of energy as a child, even up to her time of death. She valued her family and enjoyed spending time with them. As a child, she would say, "I love my whole family." At the last Thanksgiving family dinner, Diamond let her family know she was thankful that they accepted her for who she was, including her trans identity. She loved traveling and fashion. Diamond's unique style, charm, and personality will be greatly missed.
Rihanna Pardo was 26 years old when she was killed by being struck by a car on the east side of Los Angeles on March 17th, 2021. Security video shows her being followed by a group of people down Eastern Avenue, and her family wants police to determine if she ran into the street to get away from her harassers, or they might have even pushed her. She often faced such mistreatment, family members said. The motorist has been charged with driving under the influence of alcohol or drugs. The Trans Latin Coalition, along with Pardo's friends and relatives, held a candlelight vigil that following Sunday to honor her life and memory. Rihanna was such a beautiful young person who just wanted to live her life and be herself, the president of the Trans Latin Coalition said at the event. Her mother said, "I can't even sleep. Every time I close my eyes, I picture her getting hit by a car, and so I stay awake." Seeing the turnout of people to memorialize Rihanna did provide some comfort, said her sister. "It brings peace of mind. There are people out there who do care, and that's what my sister needed help with. Everybody should just love everybody," Rihanna's brother said. "At the end of the day, it's all we have is one another." And that case I find very interesting as well, because obviously she was being pursued. It was on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
So, like, the people who were following her, I'm sure, had been drinking.
Yeah.
And,
like, yelling stuff at her.
Right. And, you know, if they can see that she was... I mean, I wonder why they haven't figured out whether or not she was pushed or
right. Like, maybe... Because you could see that she was being followed, but we don't know where the cameras end.
Yeah.
If, like...
Exactly. You know. So, I mean... Or, again, like... Honestly, it might have been a situation where she was just trying to get the fuck away
from him. Right, and didn't see the car coming.
Or, well...
Well, and also the person was driving under the
influence. The motorist was drunk.
Right.
So, you know, it could have been a thing where they accidentally swerved into her. Mm-hmm. But regardless, like, the people who were following her, I think, need to be held as accountable as the person who...
Hit her.
Hit her.
Yeah.
Because they were sort of accomplices in some... in a way.
Yeah.
So.
She's got very pretty eyes. Great bone structure.
Great. Beautiful cheeks.
Mm-hmm.
Gorgeous cheeks.
All right. Next we have Jada Peterson, who was 29 and shot to death on April 4th in a room at the Quality Inn on the west side of Charlotte, North Carolina. Several days later, the police arrested Dontarius Long, 21, and Joel Brewer, 33, in connection with the deaths of Jada and another local trans woman, Remy Fennell, also at a hotel. Both men are charged with murder and other offenses, including conspiracy to commit robbery with a dangerous weapon. The FBI, which helped local authorities in the investigation, is looking into hate crime charges. There's evidence that the two suspects went to and left the hotels together, although it's unclear how they were connected to the women. Twanda Bardet, who had known Peterson since childhood, said, "That was my best friend and the first person I could ever talk to. I don't know how to get it together. I just can't believe something like that happened to my friend. She didn't deserve that." Jada was recalled as always smiling and making jokes. Brittany Battle, another friend, said that people just find it easier to kill us because socially we're at the bottom of the totem pole. No matter what her gender was, a human life was taken away. She has family and friends and people who love her. And her mother, Mary, said simply, "My heart is breaking." Very sad. And also the fact that these two men went to two different hotels and killed trans women, I think it definitely should be being looked into as a hate crime charge.
It should automatically be categorized right. as a hate crime. Yeah,
right.
I agree. When something is that premeditated and that deliberate.
Right. And we're seeing a pattern here.
Right.
So.
Obviously. Dominique Luscious, which honestly, love it. Love the name. Love her name. 26 was shot to death on April 8th in Springfield, Missouri. Charles Nelson, 28, was arrested the same day, and he is charged with second-degree murder and armed with criminal action. Dominique was killed in an apartment where she had spent the night. An occupant of the unit, only identified as SD, told the Springfield police. SD said that Dominique woke him up Thursday morning to tell him she needed to freshen up to prepare for a visitor. He went back to sleep but was awakened again by gunshots. He saw Dominique lying on the couch and a man standing over her, and then the man went out to his car and drove away. SD took photos of the car, and then a neighbor identified as JT said he also heard gunshots and saw the man drive away. Police arrested Nelson that evening. They said he had sent text messages of a sexual nature to Dominique after meeting her online. He is being held without bond in Greene County Jail. Sierra Williams, Dominique's cousin, told Springfield KYTV that it took a little while for the family to adapt to Dominique's transition, but of course they came around to it eventually. Sierra described her cousin as strong, brave, and big-hearted. She loved herself how she was, and that's what made everybody adore her. If she had her red lipstick and a red nail, she didn't care what you had to say about her. And I love that so much about her.
I love that.
Yeah.
I just painted my toes red last night.
Festive. And
I do feel fancy.
Well, yeah, I mean, and like, that's the other thing when it comes to trans-specific crimes is like, being quote-unquote passable,
mm-hmm.
and what does that mean, and what does right. that look like for each person? Mm-hmm. I mean, regardless of whether or not you're quote-unquote passable, like, no one deserves to die.
Right.
But I do love that she had, like, certain little things that she did to, like, make her feel really good, and she right. was like, you can't tell me anything.
Right.
And I'm like, yes.
You know, speaking of that, what I hate, like, when I see, like, on TikTok sometimes, I'll see a trans woman, like, posting, I don't know, like, any kind of TikTok, a thirst trap, whatever. And people will, like, make comments and, like, kind of, like, hint towards, like, oh, you look so good for someone who's trans. Or, like, you know, like, little, like, and it can even be, like, something, not, like, that direct, but something that you could tell is, like, kind of, like, a backhanded compliment. And I hate that. Passing as a woman doesn't make them any less or more of a woman.
I've seen comments like that on people's TikToks as well, for people who have not even come out publicly whether yes. or not they identify as trans. So you could essentially be outing somebody, and
right.
you don't know who is seeing that content. You don't know if an employer then sees it, if family then mm-hmm. sees it, and puts them into danger, just like all these cases that we're talking about.
Right.
So, like, people don't think that far ahead. What they think is that being, as a cisgendered woman, to be called a trans woman is, quote-unquote, like, a bad thing. Which, mm-hmm. honestly,
it's not.
I do not take it that way, because
no.
I know quite a few trans women who are way more feminine and, like, so gorgeous.
Right.
Than, like, way more feminine than I am, and are incredibly beautiful people inside and out. So
right.
it's like, if I was trans, you could be outing me, and that could be very detrimental to my safety.
Right.
So you need to watch, like, what you say.
Yeah.
But, of course, it's typically, like, 14-year-old boys online who are just, you know, insecure little boys. And, like, that's fine. But,
assholes.
Yeah, it's, that's, yeah, people, like, don't think about that part. But, of course, us being true crime people, like,
right.
we do think about those things, so.
Yeah, absolutely. So, next we have Remy Fennell, 28. This is the other woman that was killed by Jada Peterson's attackers, Darius
yes.
Long, 21, and Joel Brewer, 33. And like I said, they're both charged with murder and other offenses. And this is being looked into as a hate crime. Remy was initially from Hampton, Virginia, and had hoped to open a hair salon. She was a beautiful soul and very talented with hair, her aunt said. And her sisters planned to honor her by making the salon a reality. Her aunt advised, for every family out there, just love, no matter what your preference is, love each other.
Mm. I do love how, like, in a lot of these cases that we've been talking about already, that, like, 9 times out of 10, there's a family member that's like, love who you love. Like,
right.
Who cares?
There's somebody who you can tell was supportive of them.
Yeah, and an advocate for them.
Yeah.
So next we have T.R. Banks, 24, who passed away on April 21st in Chicago. She was shot to death. T.R. was sitting alone in her car that night in the West Pullman neighborhood on the city's far south side when somebody shot her several times, according to the Human Rights Campaign. Local TV stations reported the crime but did not give TR's name, and she was pronounced dead at the scene. Chicago police are investigating whether TR's gender identity was a factor in her death. Another fatal shooting had occurred about a half an hour earlier, less than a mile away from where TR was killed. I immediately am like, that's planned.
Right.
Howard Brown Health, which serves a largely LGBTQ plus clientele, noted TR's death, and they also started calling out anti-trans violence in general. Quote, we are experiencing an epidemic of anti-trans violence, especially violence against Black transgender women, that has been at crisis levels far too long in this country. We are seeing this epidemic of transgendered hate reflected on the surge of anti-trans legislation introduced in states across the country, and we are feeling the effects of anti-trans hate in the loss of yet another member of the transgender community here in Chicago.
Yeah.
Which, again, is, like, a great... I mean, it is an epidemic, and I feel like, especially... You know, 4 years of a certain regime that was controlling this country, it was being almost celebrated.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know, and like POC and LGBTQ plus people, and it wasn't, there was like no condoning of it from a certain person's presidency or anything like that. And not saying that, like, if the president says something, it'll change overnight. But the fact that it was, like, again, like, violence against people that you don't already like, and that person was, like, pushing the divide even more, I think has really also escalated this epidemic for sure.
I agree. So next we have Jahera D'Alto Balenciaga, who was 42 and passed away April 23rd in Boston. She was an activist and a legend in the Boston ballroom scene, and she was stabbed to death on April 23rd in her home in the city's Dorchester neighborhood. Her house guest, Fatima Yassin, 28, was also killed in the attack. Yassin's husband, Marcus Chavis, 34, had been charged with 2 counts of first-degree murder. He and their 2 children, aged 7 and 8, were also staying in Jaharia's home. She offered a safe space for them to get out of a bad situation, a friend of D'Alto's told WGBH. Police have not stated a motive for the crime, but have said that he had a history of mental illness and he's being held without bail. Jahera was known as a community advocate, anti-domestic violence activist, mother figure, and local ballroom drag scene icon. She was a legend for the trans community. She was a mother to so many that didn't have parents, and I think she took the most pride in her role as a grandmother and a mother, a chosen family for many individuals in the LGBTQ community, which we kind of touched on earlier. Mm-hmm. She worked for the Elizabeth Freeman Center, which assists survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault. And they said, we remember Jahera as a colleague, activist, and survivor who touched the lives of everyone around her with passion, drive, humanity, humor, and fierce vision. Her impact on the community was profound, and her presence will be missed by many. As said before, she was famous in Boston's ballroom scene. And a member of the House of Balenciaga. Oh, Harold Balenciaga wrote on Facebook, the House of Balenciaga regretfully acknowledges the death murder of our own Jahera M. D'Alto, a community advocate and friend to many. Let us not forget her ongoing work against domestic abuse and continue to uplift her name and ensure her memory lives on in this ironic twist of fate. It's very sad that her, one of her life goals was to help with this domestic violence, and that bringing that into her home actually turned around and kind of caused her death, which, I mean, it's 100% admirable that she even did that.
Yeah.
But just very sad that her, like, kind of life's mission led to what happened to her.
Absolutely.
But I feel like at least she passed away doing something that she was passionate about and doing something super important.
Yeah. And knowing what those risks were.
Yeah.
Doing that. Also, like, for those who are fans of RuPaul's Drag Race, the House of Balenciaga is associated with Mariah Paris Balenciaga from season 3 and then from All-Star season 5 as well. So, it's a very predominant drag house throughout the U.S. So,
yeah.
Moving on to Natalia Smut, 24, who passed away on April 23rd in Milpitas, California. She was a transgender woman and a beloved drag entertainer in Northern California, but was stabbed to death on April 23rd, and a man who was in a relationship with her had been charged with the murder. Smut, also known as Natalia Smut Lopez, was stabbed multiple times in a home in Milpitas, California. The man who was charged with killing her, Elijah Cruz Segura, 22, of nearby Union City, led police to her and was arrested at the scene. The gravely wounded Smut was taken to a hospital where she then died. Cruz is charged with murder plus a weapons enhancement for use of a knife. He and Smut have been dating for several months. More than 100 people attended her vigil at San Jose City Hall. She was known as a jewel of the community and was described as captivating by those who knew her. Many at the vigil spoke about the epidemic of violence against trans Americans, especially Black and Latinx women. Smut was Afro-Puerto Rican. Natalia was so brave, so courageous for living in her authenticity. How is it possible that someone as brave and courageous as her, how do we not protect that? Gorgeous. And we definitely, like, recommend that you guys, like, check out this article as well. Because we're not giving the full blurb. Right. We would be here for 4 hours. And that is important, but, you should definitely take a look at all these people as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So next we have Iris Santos, who's 22. She passed away on April 23rd in Houston. She was shot to death while sitting at a picnic table outside of Chick-fil-A. Someone just walked up to her and started shooting, according to a local TV station. The attack was caught on surveillance video, and police have asked for help in identifying the suspect, who was seen fleeing into a neighboring apartment complex. Her family did not learn of her death for several days, having become concerned after not hearing from her. Her mother said she was a beautiful soul and a wonderful person and always trying to help people. And months later, no arrest has been made, but her loved ones are resolved to see justice done. And they say that she was determined, she knew what she wanted in life, and was not ashamed of who she was.
Tiffany Thomas was 38 years old when she was shot and killed in a car wash in Dallas on April 24th. She was deadnamed in local reports, and her family said she was not transgender, although she appears to have been gender nonconforming at the very least. Tiffany's exact identity may never be known, but the trans community welcomes and affirms her under the trans umbrella, acknowledging her death. There is no shame for someone who was assigned at birth to be wearing women's clothing in a car wash. It certainly doesn't mean that she deserved to die. To the families, erasure of Tiffany is not only cowardly, but a grave disservice to other trans women in Dallas, and it's a shameful way to behave, and that came from the Pittsburgh Lesbian Correspondence report about her death.
Yeah, that's very sad, because I think we just talked about how we love that a family member is usually advocating, and in this case, we see the complete opposite, where the family is trying to erase her identity, which is super sad.
Really horrific. And and dead naming is just...
Right. Like, not only do we have the dead naming, but then we have the family kind of backing that up. Next, we have Kerry Washington, who was 49 and passed away on May 1st in Clearwater, Florida. She was found dead in the back of her apartment building, having died of head trauma. Her domestic partner, Arthur Benjamin Jr., also known as Hadika Shabazz, has been arrested and charged with first-degree murder. He had struck her head against a light pole, according to police records, which also say he confessed to killing her. A relative of Washington said the relationship had often been violent. Little information surfaced about her life, but friends have paid tribute to her on social media, saying that she went by the nickname of Bobo. Rest easy, Kerry Washington, aka Bobo. We love you. One read, another said Bobo was the real deal, Slay Queen. And yet again, yeah, we see kind of that abusive relationship play out, scenario play out.
Absolutely. So next is Thomas Hardin, of York, South Carolina, who was killed on May 2nd, and a suspect has been arrested, a former romantic partner of Thomas's.
Yet again.
Yeah. Thomas identified as female, but continued to use the name Thomas in both male and female pronouns. Thomas's family and friends were concerned when they hadn't heard from her in a while, so they called the police, who found her dead in a York home. Police have not released the cause of death, but friends said that Thomas was shot. Deputies took the suspect, Tyler Terry, who is 26, into custody after searching for him for a week. He is accused of at least 4 homicides in 2 states, including Thomas's. He had been homeless and living in a wooded area, and according to the Chester County Sheriff Max Dorsey, he's the most violent of a person as I have ever encountered, which to me also probably says that he is not mentally well.
Right.
Police had already arrested a suspected accomplice, Adrian Simpson, who they had said had driven the getaway car the night that Thomas was killed. Simpson and Terry were also accused of killing Simpson's husband, Eugene Simpson, who went missing on May 2nd and whose body was found on May 19th. They had both clashed with Thomas. A friend of Thomas's said that Terry and Hardin had once been romantically involved and lived together, but their relationship became tumultuous in the end. And that Thomas had kicked Tyler out of their home months ago. And he was originally given a place to stay because he didn't have anywhere else to live, and it just wasn't working out. So Thomas put him out. Hicks also described a screaming match between Adrian Simpson and Thomas over Thomas's relationship with Terry. And that one's also, like, it's slightly interesting that they had an accomplice in that who really had any skin in the game.
And they also killed her husband.
Right. Very odd.
Very, a lot going on in that one.
Yeah.
Next, we have Whispering Wind Bear Spirit, who was 41 and passed away on May 3rd in York, PA. Whispering Wind was a 41-year-old non-binary indigenous person and was shot to death during an attempted robbery. On the evening of May 3rd, several men entered a home where, I guess I'll refer to Whispering Wind, was staying with friends. They said the men were trying to recover a pound of marijuana supposedly taken from them by a resident of the home. They were shot once in the torso while trying to stop the robbery and then taken to a nearby hospital for emergency surgery but died during the operation. Brothers Ryan Craig Strada, 20, and Nicholas Samuel Strada, 17, are charged with criminal homicide, robbery, conspiracy, and burglary in the case. 4 other men face charges of robbery, burglary, and conspiracy. Oscar David Cook, 19, Michael Page Stewart, 21, Jaden Tyler Landis, 18, and Philip Cornelius Sullivan, 18. They're all so young. Like 18, 18, 19, 17. Whispering Wind was Shawnee by birth and Potawatomi by relations, according to their social media postings. A friend, Tammy Johnston, said, "I loved her very much and will be receiving her ashes. I picked out a beautiful Native American urn with white bear spirit on it. I will be creating a memorial place for her at our cabin, appropriately named the Bear House. She will have a permanent and peaceful home with us.
36-year-old Sophie Vasquez was shot and killed in her apartment in Brookhaven, Georgia on May 4th. Sophie was shot several times. The Brookhaven police found 5 shell casings and 3 bullets on the scene. There was some outcry from activists that the police were downplaying the case, but Pedro Silvia Renteria, 18 years old, of Norcross, Georgia, was identified as a suspect about a week later and finally arrested in August in Grand Prairie, Texas. He is charged with murder. Sophie was known as the kindest person on the planet and somebody who lit up the whole room and made us laugh until we cry. Mm-hmm. At least with hers, they have somebody in custody.
Yeah, for sure.
I would like to know more about how they found out that it was him, but... Right.
So I think it said that something they just couldn't find the information for, I guess.
Right, absolutely.
Next we have... This actually hits close to home because this case takes place in Baltimore. Danny Henson, 31, who also went by Prince Daniel, was fatally shot in her home in Baltimore on May 4th. A vigil for Danny was held shortly after her death. Her brother said, "I'm still emotional, but I'm trying to hold it together." Danny was known as the embodiment of love, and a friend added that we need to stop having all these Black men, Black women, Black trans people dying and no justice being found. In late May, Kadeem Green and Daquan Sawyer, both 23, were arrested and charged with first-degree murder. In October, both rejected plea deals that would give them life sentences with the possibility of parole. They're scheduled to be tried together in April.
With some of these cases, I'm like, do I feel better knowing that someone is in custody or do I not?
I feel better, but like some of these it's just sad to know, like in the two cases that I've just talked about, they're so young, like all of them, like
I mean just... the majority of the people on this list are under the age of 25.
Yeah, like, and even just knowing that the people who killed them, like in the one case where there were like 17, 18, like mm-hmm. that's a child, like even if they are 18, like that's, I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, obviously I knew not to kill anybody, but just, like, you have your whole life ahead of you, and it's just, like, being completely thrown away because whatever they're involved in.
Right.
Like, that one was, like, a whole group, and it had to do with the drugs, so I'm sure it's just kind of one of those things where what they're surrounded by kind of leads to this lifestyle.
Yeah. Serenity Hollis, 24, was shot to death in Albany, Georgia on May 8th. She was shot once in the back early in the morning while walking down the street in Albany, according to local media, which misgendered and dead-named her, as have police and prosecutors. The Albany Police Department released a video showing someone approaching her from behind, shooting her, and then fleeing. Authorities suspect that her death was a hate crime. Suspect? It's like, it was.
Also, that you suspect that it was a hate crime, but yet you're out here dead-naming her, misgendering.
Cool. It's like, great.
Come on. You're contributing to that hate crime.
They've said that they can't go into the specifics of everything that happened, but it was pretty apparent that was probably a motivation for the death. Mm-hmm. The district attorney, Greg Edwards, told TV station WALB, while still misgendering Serenity.
Oh, my God.
Shannon Osberry, one of Serenity's sisters, says that she believed that Serenity's death was either a hate crime or an act of revenge for some reason. Without identifying Serenity as trans, she said someone may have been offended by the way her sibling carried herself. Serenity's mother, Robin, spoke to local news stations by saying, "The person that is responsible has no idea what they took from us. I absolutely want to see that justice is served."
Yeah, it looks like that Serenity had been attacked before and stabbed multiple times at a nightclub about 2.5 years before. So that like brings into the couple of the cases that we talked about where they literally like survived an attack and then Crazy.
Insane.
Next, we have Poe Delwyn Black. It was a 21-year-old transgender man who was stabbed to death in California in May, on May 11th. Poe's death was not reported until a month later when the Imperial County Sheriff's Office put out a request for assistance with the investigation. And it looks like they were dead named and described as non-binary, but Human Rights Campaign has identified him as a trans man, as have some media reports. He was also Indigenous, a member of the Wyandot Nation, Two-Spirit, and neurodivergent, according to Friends. Poe's body was found on May 11th in the Coachella Canal near Slab City, which is an unincorporated community near Nyland in the desert close to California's border with Mexico. An autopsy several days later revealed stab wounds, and police are investigating the death as a homicide. Poe, who went by the nickname Legion in the area, arrived in Slab City in December or January from Nashville. He went to an arts-based high school and was a very talented visual artist, loved to paint and draw and restore and thrift things. Also, Poe had a history of activism. He was a strong activist and was very involved in multiple Black Lives Matter protests and LGBTQ plus activism. He was also recently diagnosed as autistic and was suspected of having Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. But it looks like no arrests have been made in this case.
Yeah, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome is like very painful.
It said he like missed a lot of school.
Yeah. So next we have another young trans boy who was kidnapped and shot.
This one's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Oliver Ollie Taylor, a 17-year-old trans boy, was abducted on May 12th in the town of Jervis, Oregon. Police say that Kenneth William Pendon III, who is 20, drove away in a pickup truck with Ollie, leading to a chase by law enforcement. Police pursued Pendon through another town, Silverton, and into the country, and exchanged gunshots with him. When Pendon finally gave himself up, the police found Ollie in the truck's front passenger seat, and he had suffered a life-threatening gunshot wound. The bullet that had struck him had not been fired by the officers pursuing the vehicle, police say. He was taken to a children's hospital in Portland, where he unfortunately passed away on that following Wednesday.
Actually, it's this last Wednesday. So was that when this was written?
I think it was when it was written. And on the May 20th. Because May 20th was a... May 20th was a Thursday, so he would have passed away on the 26th. His family remembered him on social media as an amazing kid with a quirky sense of humor who impacted so many people. Pendon was charged with murder by the county district attorney's office, but that is only one of 9 charges against Pendon, including 5 counts of attempted murder. Eric Reed, 22, was shot in the abdomen while trying to prevent the abduction, who was, at the time of this article, recovering. Ollie was, at the time of this article, back in May, at least the 26th trans, non-binary, or non-gender non-conforming person to die by violence in the U.S. this year. Oliver was just at the beginning of his life, a life that never should have been cut short. This is a tragic loss for Oliver's friends, family, and community. This violence must cease.
Mm-hmm. So next we have Tierra Marie Lewis, who was shot to death in Cleveland on June 12th. She was found in a residential neighborhood when police responded to a report of gunfire. She had been shot in the chest. Officers attempted to revive her, as a detected a faint pulse, but she died at a hospital shortly afterward. Dwayne Lunsford, 25, of Cleveland, had been charged with aggravated murder and felonious assault and has pleaded not guilty. Tierra Marie had been experiencing homelessness and had received assistance from the LGBT Community Center of Greater Cleveland. She was trying to break away from sex work and recover from addiction. She stayed in various shelters, but experienced conflicts at some and blatant transphobia in at least one, with a security guard using the T word and referring to her with male pronouns.
God, the misgendering is just insane.
Yeah. And at a LGBTQ plus shelter, for a security guard to be doing that, like,
it is deplorable. Why are you there?
Like, why are you doing that in general, but also why are you there? Right. So she's recalled by a member of the trans wellness group as someone who commanded attention, a spirited girl. One day she would have purple hair and one day pink, and always an alpha to go with those colors. She shined such a light, and she only gave kindness. Mm. It's terrible for somebody who was remembered that way to be treated the way that she was, and just seemed to have had a rough go at it.
Right.
In life.
Absolutely. EJ Boykin, who also went by the name Nova Watson, died of a gunshot wound on June 14th in Lynchburg, Virginia. EJ was 23 at the time. He was found in a parking lot of a Family Dollar store at 6 p.m. that day and was taken to a local hospital where he died soon afterwards. Police are still investigating Boykin's death as a homicide, but they are searching for a suspect. They say they do not believe the shooting was a hate crime and think it may have been related to a domestic dispute. A child was at the scene, but was not harmed. His mother, Latoya, has been leading weekly walks while distributing photos of EJ in hopes of finding someone with information that will lead to an arrest in this case. Hmm. Man, the strength of mothers, I tell you.
Right.
Just crazy.
Next we have Taya Ashton, who's 20 years old and was found shot to death on July 17th in her apartment in Suitland, Maryland, a suburb of Washington, D.C. She was found shortly before 10 p.m. and had suffered a single gunshot wound and was pronounced dead at the scene. D.C. trans advocate Earlene Budd released a statement about Ashton's death, saying, "Today's a somber and sad day for the transgender community as we remember yet another life so precious taken away." 2 days after Ashton's death, an arrest was made. D'Allen Devonta Prince, 27, of District Heights, Maryland, is charged with first-degree and second-degree murder, among other crimes. He had been arrested by Arlington County, Virginia police on unrelated robbery charges as he was trying to escape through a train tunnel. Prince had been in a sexual relationship with Ashton, according to charging documents.
Wow. Again.
So another, yeah.
Domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
There is definitely, like, a through line, for sure, with all of these horrific, violent crimes. Mm-hmm. So this one's a lot closer to home for us here. Shai Vanderpump, a 23-year-old advocate in New Jersey, was shot to death on July 30th in the capital city of Trenton. About 4:40 a.m., police responded to a report of a shooting at a residence. They found Shai, who had been shot in the face. Whenever I hear that someone's been shot in the face, I'm like, oh, that is just...
so aggressive.
It's so aggressive and it's so, like...
personal?
Deliberate.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Impersonal, yeah. She was taken to a hospital where she was pronounced dead shortly after. The following night, police arrested 36-year-old Daniel L. Smith during a traffic stop. He is now charged with murder and several weapons violations. Smith was the person who reported Shai's shooting to the police, according to the affidavit obtained by Trentonian. Great. He said that someone roused him out of bed and that there was a shooting at the house. Witnesses placed him at the house, and a security video showed him running through the parking lot at the YMCA and washing his hands in a puddle. Police and prosecutors have not stated a motive for the crime, but they are investigating whether or not it was bias related. She may have been killed while trying to protect another person. But again, like, no specific cause has been placed on her case. The loss of Shy is devastating, said a statement from Tori Cooper, director of community engagement for the Human Rights Campaign's Transgender Justice Initiative. She was a well-known LGBTQ plus advocate in New Jersey, and her loss will be felt by her family, friends, and the local community, as well as the wider LGBTQ plus community. Her life should have never been taken. Too many transgender and gender nonconforming lives have already been lost. We need everybody in every state, city, community to bring an end to this senseless violence and stigma that so often impacts Black trans women.
Yeah. And not only are we seeing a pattern of like partners or domestic violence, but also in general, I think all of the people who have gotten arrested for these murders have been men.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, as it seems, like cis men.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have, know like,
for sure, but
yeah, but it does seem like cisgendered men.
Yeah, we have a pattern. Next, we have Miss Coco, 44, who was shot to death August 7th at a homeless encampment in downtown Dallas. Miss Coco was often seen in encampment areas with others who were experiencing homelessness. A post by the New Trans Movement noted her as a well-known small girl with big bubbly personality who was a happy person and proud to be living her truth. Friends and family have given her full name as Coco Chanel Wortham. She was originally from Kansas City. And she was described as a giving and kind person who never said no to anyone and was a master cosmetologist. Her death is being investigated as a hate crime. She looks so
happy. Yeah. So we're only in August, people.
We're getting there.
Pooh Johnson was shot to death in Shreveport, Louisiana on October 23rd. She was found dead in a vehicle on a Shreveport street around 5:30 in the morning. And she had been shot several times. Pooh had worked as a makeup artist under the name Titanzier MUA, according to her social media pages. Of course, the Human Rights Director, Human Rights Campaign's Transgender Justice Initiative, Tori Cooper, again makes a statement about how heartbreaking it is to see so many trans women's lives stolen due to transphobia and gun violence. And, of course, the National Black Justice Coalition director, Victoria York, talks about the epidemic of violence that continues to take life after life, and each senseless loss is devastating. The trans non-binary community in this movement, and they need protection. We almost fight back against the transphobia and bias that contributes to the violence that we see. So again, as the year goes on and we're seeing more and more deaths, and it's like not stopping, and it almost seems like it's ramping up and the deaths become more violent.
Right.
You know, HRC is getting involved and more and more. And I'm glad that Tori Cooper is making sure that there is a narrative that keeps going with each of these deaths.
Zoella Martinez, who was 20 years old, was found fatally shot in an alley on September 1st in Seattle. Zoella had gone the night before to meet Jacquery Rashad Hardy in an attempt to recover the $1,100 she believed he had fraudulently withdrawn from her bank account. She had arranged for a friend to stay nearby when she met Jacquery in a parking lot. When the friend arrived, she saw Zoella sitting in the car with another person at the wheel. The driver sped off, and when Zoella didn't return to the lot to get her own car, the friend called the Kings County Sheriff's Office to report her missing. And then she was found the next morning in an alley next to a fire station with 5 gunshot wounds and burns consistent with being shot at close range. She had no identification on her, but communications between the city and county officers with help of security footage that showed the parking lot meeting identified her as Zoella. The footage showed flashes of light that appeared to be a handgun firing. Jacquerie remained at large for more than a month, but with information from his Facebook profile, authorities were able to track him down. He was arrested on October 6th at an apartment building in Renton, a Seattle suburb. He's charged with second-degree murder and first-degree unlawful possession of a firearm. His vehicle contained 5 .40-caliber shell casings, a fire bullet, and blood on the front passenger seat and exterior of the front passenger door. He appeared in court on October 21st and pleaded not guilty on all counts. Zoella was not identified as trans until mid-October, which, while no news reports revealed that she was a trans woman, we have been given permission by the family to reveal this. Diversity of Alliance of the Puget Sound posted on their Facebook. They proudly stood by their daughter through her transition and will continue to do so.
On September 6th in Dalton, Illinois, Desiah Mani, who was 27, was shot to death in this suburb of Chicago. Some information about her is conflicting. Some reports say that her name was Desiah Monet Smith, while some reports simply refer to her as Desiah Monet.
So it looks like her name was just reported very differently in different sources.
Yes, and also her age. They're saying either she was 27 or 32, but it has been confirmed that she was 27 by her mother. She was at a motel with a couple of female friends, but was tired and decided to stay in the room while the others went out. When they returned, she was dead. Her mother believes that she fought the assailant. At the hotel room, you can tell that the struggle was at the door and was not inside the hotel room. There's blood, like a trail of blood in the entranceway right there on the hallway area. She is remembered as always being so caring and giving, even though she didn't have much of her own. Her mother apparently used to tell her when she was little that she can't keep taking care of everybody, but she just kept on taking care of everybody.
Oh, at the end it says she explained to her mother that a lot of the trans girls she hung out with didn't have family because their families disowned them. Yeah. And she made sure that her mother fed her friends and she'd take them in like family.
Yeah. Oh,
it's very sweet.
Chosen family is real, babe.
Yeah. Brianna Ulmer was shot to death in Chicago on September 17th. She was 25 years old. She was found in an alley early that morning with a gunshot wound to the head and was pronounced dead at a local hospital. Chicago TV station WGN misgendered her. Her social media feed was filled with affirmative self-love content as well as observations on culture, fashion, and society. And she was known as a very vibrant woman. Her mother set up a GoFundMe campaign to raise money for expenses and said, "I know Brianna was loved by many. She calls her an amazing person," and ending with hashtag trans lives matter. Her sister refers to her as her best friend, and her friend Tariah Walton said she was the life of the party, always full of life, honest, loyal, authentic. You don't meet people as special as her every day.
Kira Solomon, 21 years old, was found fatally shot in her car at an apartment complex in Arlington, Texas on September 30th of 2021.
A lot of gun violence.
Tons of gun violence.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the huge...
I was going to say, I mean, it's easy. And for those who don't know, it's very easy to get a gun in the United States. So Kira was in the driver's seat with the door open and the engine running when another motorist spotted her. She was taken to an emergency room of a local hospital where she was pronounced dead. Kira had no known connection to the Madrid Apartments, the complex where she was found. She actually lived with her grandmother in Dallas and sometimes visited friends at a different complex in Arlington. Arlington and Dallas are probably about like 45 minutes away from one another. She was between jobs and was looking for employment. Police are still searching for a suspect, and they said they don't believe the perpetrator was motivated by Kira's gender identity. Her mother told a local police station, Kira was very loved and loved a lot of people. There was no reason for this to have happened. Another friend of hers, only identified as Josh, has said, something in my soul told me this wasn't right. Kira, at this time, was at least the fifth trans person killed in Texas in 2021. The Human Rights Campaign, of course, once again mentions all of the Black trans violence and the Latinx trans violence. And they have said, Naomi Green of the Human Rights Campaign has said, my heart goes out to this lovely trans sister who lost her life at only 21 and all those who loved and knew her.
Next, we have Mel Groves, who was 25, died on October 11th in Jackson, Mississippi. He was shot multiple times and drove himself to Merritt Health Hospital in Jackson and collapsed while getting out of his vehicle. He was transferred to University of Mississippi Medical Center, where he later passed away. His death is being investigated as a homicide, and they're still trying to determine suspects and motive. Mel was a farmer for the Knights and Orchids Society Garden Program and a plant soil scientist who loved agriculture and animals. And Victoria York of the MBJC talked about how the violence this year seems never ending, and she's devastated each time she hears of another trans sibling lost. And what's even more heartbreaking is the fact that Mel expressed fear for his life because he was trans living in Jackson. Trans people should not have to fear violence simply because of their identity, but that's our country's current reality. This has to do with the prevalence of transphobia in our daily lives and the inaction around the epidemic of violence against the trans community.
And I mean, it's so true. It is so true. So now we are into October of 2021. Mm-hmm. Royal Poetical Stars, who was either 20 or 26 years old, there are conflicting reports on their age, was shot to death on October 2nd in Miami Gardens, Florida. Royal, who had lived near by in Pompano Beach, was shot inside of her Hummer in a residential area of Miami Gardens. Police, whose report misgendered and deadnamed her, have released few details, but her friend Sandy T. Fox told certain publications that she was shot 20 times, including in the face. The crime occurred around 11:30 a.m. Fox has stated that it shows to them a very high level of premeditation and anger, which we had said earlier. Fox, who is also a family law attorney, was outraged by the dead naming and misgendering. She had personally changed Royal's name, which is why she is also taking legally, which is why she's taking it like she was taking it so hard.
Right.
And she has also said that it appears that like nobody is even recognizing her as trans. Royal, who was actually widowed 2 years earlier, was struggling financially. She worked as a masseuse, but recently received a business degree from a vocational school, and she was also a singer. She was known as the life of the party, and how she always had, like, the coolest hair and the coolest nails, and was constantly being, complimented. Yes. Very fashionista. And the picture they chose for her part of the article, like, is very clear that, like,
right, the nails, everything's put together.
Everything, the body is bright, head to toe. The hair is bright, it's all good. The fact that the crime had occurred during the daytime shows that it was quote unquote brazen. And you know, the more trans people who pass away, the more the trans community gets increased harassing and drama. And, you know, there have been reports that it's like, it is acceptable to be transphobic, especially towards Black trans women, and it makes the whole community terrified.
Yeah. Understandably so. So next we have Jesse Hart, who was 42 and passed away on October 17th in Banks, Oregon. Jesse had experienced poverty and housing insecurity and was found dead on October 17th. Authorities suspect foul play. Her body was found in a wooded area, and detectives think that she died about 2 weeks earlier. She and her 13-year-old son, Caleb, had bounced from women's shelter and a friend's apartment into motels. She also had an adult daughter who lived in another part of Oregon. She lost her subsidized motel room shortly after a story was published about her in the Wilmette Week. And she eventually got another motel room with the help of a nonprofit organization. Her girlfriend, Audrey Savage, told the paper, "I'll miss everything about her. She was intelligent and thoughtful and caring, and I loved her quirks." And then Tori Cooper, who we've heard from before from the Human Rights Campaign, talks about how housing insecurity often places so many from our community in dangerous and concerning situations. Had Jesse Hart had access to secure housing, it's possible she would still be with us today. As transgender people, we often face so many challenges and uncertainties, including housing and employment security. And sadly, these situations can lead to greatly unfortunate outcomes. And her heart goes out to the community, or the heart and that of the community goes out to her son, Caleb. Her and her son were allegedly very, very close.
And then last on this list, through, you know, the end of October, and certainly not least, is Joy Acker, who is 26 years old, who was shot to death in Boise, Idaho on October 25th, 2021. Joe was working as a security guard and was killed when a gunman opened fire in the Boise Town Square Mall on October 25th in Idaho. And her family members say she took actions that undoubtedly saved many lives there. She confronted the shooter on the first floor of the mall near a department store, according to a police report. The gunman, now identified as Jacob Berquist, 27 years old, shot Joe and she died at the scene. Another person at the mall, Robert Padilla Arguelles, 49, was killed, and at least four other people were injured. Bergquist was taken into custody that Monday and then died the next day. Police said that there had been an exchange of gunfire with him. Joe's partner and siblings say she died a hero. And apparently she had run towards Berquist, hoping to stop him. She confronted the suspect and she was helping people be safe and get out of the way, and they shot at her. I was told she was helping people, saving them. I know she would have wanted to make everyone else safe. She would have been the first person to go down to confront somebody. Apparently confronting somebody whom she viewed to be a threat to others or as a bully was entirely within her character even prior to her job as a security guard. Apparently, Joe had lived for a time in Colorado Springs and served in the U.S. Army as a forward artillery observer and paratrooper, and that Tiffany, her older sister, has been receiving messages from people about how she helped them, how she saved them. Oh, and how Tiffany is so thankful for the love and support that she and her family are receiving. Joe had a 3-year-old daughter named Every, and the family has set up a GoFundMe campaign to raise money for Every's support. However, the GoFundMe does misgender Joe. And then we hear from our dear friend Tori Cooper again from the Human Rights Campaign, calling to action the end to the senseless violence that is harming the community, and how incredibly frightening the rate of anti-trans fatal violence is happening within our country. Yeah. And that we need to keep transgender communities safe to make all communities safe. So,
yeah.
Those are the 43 trans people who have passed away.
So far in 2021.
So far in 2021.
Well, that whole list was very sad. I will say that that last one was a very brave thing that she did to kind of step in and help others during such a scary situation.
Mm-hmm.
And although everything was sad, it kind of It just shows, I mean, not even being a brave person to just, like, live your truth and be who you are, but also to, like, help others in that way. It's just,
yeah.
That was sad.
Really sad.
That was sad. But I think it was really important to, because we talked about how we were going to do this episode mm-hmm. and whether we were just going to, like, highlight a few stories, but we really believed that every person deserved their story told.
It didn't seem right just to pick, you know, 10 out right. of the 40 something people mm-hmm. who had passed away to in some way make those deaths, you know, more tragic than
right.
the other deaths, because regardless, all the deaths are very tragic. So
agreed.
Absolutely, please read this article to learn yeah. more information about each of the victims on The Advocate. We'll put it down in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
Ray, do you want to tell the good people where they can find us?
I will. We're at The Midnight Record on Instagram and TikTok, at TMR Pod on Twitter, and themidnightrecord@gmail.com if you want to send us a little email.
Please do not forget to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast and all of your favorite podcast listening platforms.
Do it now.
I literally have a friend who, like, deadass, like, puts our podcast on at night on Spotify just to, like, let it, like, run through.
I love that.
And I'm like, that is really sweet of you. Thank you.
Yeah, I love that.
We love it. We're saying you don't have to do that, but
we love the support. I mean, if you want to do that.
But also, we're getting into the holiday season, so if you want to give the gift of true crime to your friends and loved ones,
what better gift
than The Midnight Record? 100%.
Come on.
And you know, we might have some, like, fun merch things coming out in the future.
That'd be great.
If you have any suggestions for merch or
yeah,
for
what
cases,
you'd like to see,
yeah,
merch wise,
for cases that you would like us to cover, you can always contact us through all of our social medias and, of course, that email.
Yep.
Yeah, and you know, I guess until next time.
I'll see you at midnight.
I'll see you at midnight.
Yeah.
I'm so sad.
This is very sad.